The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
This is Lindsay with Center Stage Events, and Mike and Dave are the nicest, most talented people I will never have in my roster. They're the top of the bottom.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is 6 o'clock, like on the dot, kind of. You are listening to the Odyssey Files. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, even though he had Skype issues once again, what Monday would be complete without it, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Sawyering. How are you, Dave?
I'm wonderful. I was kind of hoping that the last snowstorm that rolled through here was going to be the last one, and March was going to be a great month. And, you know, we're supposed to get another 7 to 10 and ice storms. And so it's, you know, it is what it is.
Yep. Yep. So while we are producing, while we are having the show right now, there is a blizzard outside Dave and myself. But where there is not a blizzard, at least I don't think so, is where our guest tonight is, Mr. Chad Lindbergh. How are you tonight, Chad?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm well. I am not in a blizzard.
That's good. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Now, you are in L.A., correct?
That is correct.
Nice. So, yeah, it's a beautiful sunny afternoon.
Yeah, it's a little cooler here in LA at this time, but yes, currently I'm looking out the window. It's blue sky and sunny.
Define cooler, because cooler to you might be like, you know, tropical weather for us.
I guess somewhere in the 50s. It's just cooler for LA. But it feels good. You know, it's LA.
It's like shorts weather. Yeah, that's like it, when it hits 50s here, everybody in Minnesota like jumps into shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if it's 40s, we're all grilling. So, yeah.
Well, true.
So, Chad, you have such usually what I have our guests do is give a brief overview of their career with the paranormal.
Yeah.
But yours spans like 5 different things. So I guess because I know there are people that know you from all sorts of things. You know,
right.
I got my first Chad Lindbergh experience, obviously it was Supernatural.
Right.
And then I know Dave and I were both huge fans of Ghost Stalkers with, you know, you and John Tenney.
Yes.
So but how did you actually get involved with the paranormal field?
I have always had experiences. I've always loved it growing up as a kid. And then I hounded the Ghost Adventures years ago. I remember watching the first episode as my sister showed it to me, and she said, "You got to watch these guys." And I saw their first episode, and I turned to her and said, I'm going to go out and investigate with these guys one day. And so I watched all of their episodes, and then eventually I reached out to Zach and, you know, became friends with him and Aaron at the time and met Nick. They had me on a show, the Return to Linda Vista show. And from there, I started going out and investigating, doing all of these crazy investigations and getting invited by all these people that had these places and going out with everybody else with my gear and investigating because I loved it. And then fast forward a couple of years, Nick and I, he had called me out of the blue and said, he's, he's doing this show called Ghost Doctors and wanted to know if I wanted to be in it and if it would be okay if they put me in these haunted locations by myself. And I said, absolutely. And then one thing led to another, and then sure enough, they were putting me in really haunted locations by myself with John Tenney, who is amazing and a phenomenon in his own right. And Nick and I have become really great friends. And from there, you know, I this is kind of what I do on top of acting. I travel all the time doing investigations with people and taking people out. And now I'm doing a new show, Badass Celebrity Ghost Hunt. So, yeah, there's a lot of levels and layers to my paranormal existence.
So was the going out with Zach and Ghost Adventures, was that pre-Supernatural or post?
Post. Okay. Yeah, Supernatural actually had nothing to do with like the paranormal or me being interested in it. That was just kind of an interesting coincidental fluke. Yeah, I've always loved the idea and the fact that, you know, there's just so much more than to our eyes and to our everyday life, you know, our BS, you know, there's just much more. And if people turn themselves onto it, man, it's really fascinating because it does exist, in my opinion.
Well, your opinion would be right because it does exist.
It does. It yeah. does exist.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be spot on. So
yeah. Yeah.
So how for those of you that either know about his role in Supernatural or don't, obviously you played Ash, that I actually got wrong when I talked to Lindsay. How was that? We're not going to stick on Supernatural long. I'm just a really huge fan.
Please. There's a lot of people out there that are, so it's all right. Please.
How was that pitched to you?
Well, that came to me as an audition, as many of the roles do, and from there you get sides, kind of like the ones that I have here in my hand. You guys can see them, the audience can't, but I'm showing these sides that I've highlighted, and you go in and you read for the part. And I had gotten the original sides, and I knew right away that it was mine. Sometimes you just know. And I went to an audition for it, and I walked into a room with probably a good 20 like male actors that were in there, all vying for it. It was a busy room, and I went in for Eric Kripke and the producers. And in my mind, right away, I knew Ash had to be big, and that was the character. So I went in with a sleeveless flannel shirt buttoned up. And when they said, okay, go ahead, when you're ready, I turned around and I unbuttoned my shirt all the way. And when I started the audition, I turned around and whipped open the shirt bare-chested and started Ash like on level like 100. And then I worked from there. So, you know, and they howled and loved it and laughed. And later I got the part. So that was it.
That's great. That's absolutely great.
I'm going to ask you a cheesy and cliched question, but I have to know. The mullet, real or fake?
Fake. I'll tell you, the mullet takes about an hour and a half to put on, and it's extensions. And basically they're pinned into the back of my head with pins and buttons and all kinds of things to hold it in. And then you do the business up front, and that takes a little while. You got a lot of hairspray and a lot of sass. And then once that happens, you know, I leave the building.
Yeah.
Nice. So Nick called you about, I'm sorry, Dave, did you have anything to add about the Supernatural before we moved on?
No. No, I mean, you know, obviously we could talk about Supernatural the whole show. We could talk about Fast and Furious the whole show. I mean,
wherever it goes, you know, wherever it goes, man.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in, you know, as we get into Ghost Doctors and you know, I would like to touch on the Ghost Adventures, though, too, you know, and go back to that a little bit. When So when you got into, you know, you finally got to go out with Zach and Nick and Aaron, right? I mean, and you said it was the return to Linda Vista.
Yeah.
So when you investigate, you know, being as that you had, you know, and I'm going back to what was kind of the premise for you and Tenney getting together.
Yeah.
Was, you know, you had shared a near-death experience.
Right.
And so do you think that near-death experience heightened your sensitivity or opened you up a little bit more than previously you were, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so like,
absolutely.
Is it like a heightened type of thing for you post a serious illness?
I think so. I definitely rode the line of life and death at that time. And I remember they just kind of put me on a bed of ice and sort of let me, you know, fall in and out of consciousness. I never thought that would include sort of where I was at or be a part of the puzzle until I got way down the line with it, until I met Tenney and heard his experiences, which, man, if you've ever heard him talk about it, it's unlike anything I've ever heard, you know. So my experience was vastly different. And I love the weirdness of life. I love all the weird aspects of it, you know, the ghosts and, I mean, past ghosts. Just being human, period, I think is weird. Giant lizards flew around the sky millions of years ago, and that's weird, you know. I don't think that this is normal, and I always wrestle with it every day. I'm like, I think we're the crazy aliens. So, yeah, I think it did influence me somewhere down the line, and I've just always been fascinated with it, and I just want to, like, charge into it and see what's going on and kind of pull back all the layers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you think your experiences being a part of Ghost Stalkers and being in these haunted locations by yourself, has that fueled your desire, or has it given you, or are you still just as, you know,
terrified,
passionate,
passionate, there we go,
passionate, yes, yeah. Yeah, man, 110%, because it just keeps getting weirder and weirder no matter what you do. It just keeps getting more strange, and you keep going down the rabbit hole, and that's my experience with it. So, yeah, I'm just as passionate as I was. Being in those haunted locations by myself taught me a lot, because once I got there, like, you know, the romanticism of doing the show went out the window when I had to actually go in, and there was no safety net. There was no crew. There was none of that. I had my cameras. I had me and a flashlight. And it was a serious coming of God in a lot of ways. I had a profound spiritual experience that whole shooting and meeting John and him being a mentor and now becoming a friend. Like, I learned so much, and it taught me a lot. It gave me a solid foundation for where I took it and where I'm at with it now.
Nice. So,
yeah.
There are two episodes which really stand out to me, and I still remember this day. One was the pilot. In fact, any time that I tell people about the show, and it happens, I talk about the EVP that you got while sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
So did it seriously? And
yeah, please.
This is what the spirit said. It's not what I'm saying. So
yeah.
did it seriously tell you to be a man?
It did. That was what you saw, what everyone saw, was probably the most profound change that I've ever, you see it happening right in front of you. I remember we went to that place, and we had shot another location before, and we went to Whispers of State. We shot 3 episodes back to back. So it was just like, we'd go to one location and shoot for 3 days, go to another location and shoot for 3 days. So, you know, what people saw was also like compounding paranormal energy all the time on us. So we had been to the first location. We went to Whispers, and right away I knew that this was different, and that place had actually punched me in the chest earlier that day. I started working on my nerves. I really was terrified about that place. Later on that night, before I had to go in, I threw up. John Tenney was there. What people didn't see was him probably talking to me for about a good hour on, you know, what this means and how much energy it takes for spirits to do what they do, and that we're infinitely more powerful than they are. However, the lore of this place was getting to me, and that the fear was definitely kicking in. So after I got the courage to go in, I went in, I sat on the couch, and I was terrified. I hadn't been through the house yet. I was terrified. And I remember sitting there just thinking, I just want to get out of here. And then I played it back. And then clear as day, I heard Chad be a man. And at first, when you see me register, it was absolute dread and terror on my face once I realized that that's what it said to me. And then from there, you see my wheels turning, and I'm like, boy, be a man, be a man. And then I'm like, F it, and I go for it. And that gave me so much courage to move through the house and to continue. And it was a very dark place, a very, very dark place. But that was a huge teacher to me. And whoever that was, whatever that was, it could have been me from the future coming back and talking to myself. I mean, we explored all of these possibilities on what that was, because it came through so clear as day, and it was such a teacher for me. So that was one of my most profound moments on Ghost Doctors. Yeah.
Wow. I got to say, in all the investigations that I've done, like the hundreds upon hundreds of EVPs, I wish I could have something that good. I wish.
It was, but it was also the energy at which it delivered it too. It was so just spot on. It was like, man, you know, it was so personal. And then we laugh, you know, we went back and we laugh, and you know, obviously people, when, you know, they see me scream. And at the time, you know, it wasn't funny, but looking back, you just like, wow, I was absolutely scared. And, you know, when you're investigating alone, it's a whole different deal than having people around or another person. It's just different, you know? So yeah, good times, good times.
It's a lot more intimate.
It is. You're completely vulnerable, 100%. Right. And John was far away. He'd be out in the camper. Like, there was no safety net, and I'd be in there, or he'd be in there for, you know, all night. So it taught me a lot, and it was pure adrenaline, absolutely pure adrenaline, and I do miss it. So now, you know, the desire and the wish is that I can sort of give that to my guests on the new show that I'm doing, and sort of like give them just a little bit of an ounce of that fear, because you learn so much from it.
So have you been back to any of the locations that you spent time at, you know, on Ghost Stalkers, to kind of follow up on something that might have, that you might have left unresolved, or further looking for a further answer for something that you experienced?
No, not yet. Not yet. There's been talk of John and I going back to one of these places to like do an event or have people come out and join us. And then Whispers kind of does this to me back in my mind somewhere. Like, it's, you know, it's one of those places, man. I know I'll go back one day, but I'm also in no rush.
There's another place that you went that Dave and I are actually very familiar with.
Uh-oh.
The Farrar Schoolhouse.
Oh, yeah. Iowa. Yeah.
Cause we've investigated there, twice.
It's been twice. Once for a weekend, and then, once the initial time that we ended up there. Mm-hmm. And then we're talking about going back and doing like a weekend lockdown kind of thing, which is, we haven't been able to put the dates together yet.
That'll be fun. That's a haunted school, which is also very strange.
What was your impressions of Farrar?
It made me very queasy. It made me feel very uncomfortable, like you have to be very careful and on your best. And it sort of didn't let John and I see it, like, but it definitely, you feel it. Just about everybody physically was affected by that place. And it's interesting because it's a school. It was a school, an operating school. I don't know who's able to operate in that school, because the amount of pulsating, I don't want to say negative energy, but just hard energy. It made me queasy. It made me really queasy. And it gave John a run for his money. John Tenney doesn't unravel easily, and that place had him skipping around.
I remember that's the episode that I believe he came out of a classroom, and there was like a double deckered person with a trench coat or something like that was like right in front of him. He drew a photo of it drew a picture of it.
Yeah, John got to see something like that. You know, whatever it was, you know, it delivered whatever I could take, and it delivered whatever he could take, you know. So John got to see a double-layered creature, whatever that was.
It almost looked like two kids standing, like one standing on his shoulders.
That's what he said, yeah.
Huh. You think you guys are just being messed with, like maybe by some mischievous kids with that particular event?
It could have been. It definitely felt protective and mischievous. And I don't know, John sort of equated it to a trickster, maybe, there. Really haunted spot. I don't know, it made me feel queasy.
Yeah, it's there's a darker entity that's there that they call the principal. And we've run into him a couple of different times. And he definitely has the ability to reach out and go after kind of whoever he wants to. And I think in a lot of different ways.
Yes.
He has the ability to kind of pierce, kind of like, I guess, you know, not to sound cliche, but, you know, to take a look into your soul and kind of see what your fears are, and then to kind of exploit that to his pleasure, I think, would be a good way to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting how they can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a very nice guy.
Yeah, who knows?
Right. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... right, exactly. It definitely has the feeling of a male entity. So when I say guy, I don't necessarily mean that he was ever like a living human being. He might not be. It might be something from a different realm. But it's definitely has that authoritative, I own this place, male bravado type of attitude. Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, like, I think it goes back to like way before it was a school. You know, and also there's a cemetery across the street.
Yep.
People, you know, if people have the opportunity to go, they should go, because it's, you know, we all go to these places and it's, it gets real, but, you know, we all go back. So I understand.
Before we get into the badass celebrity ghost.
Yeah.
Hunt,
yeah.
I think I'm just going to ask like every guest that comes on from now on.
Yeah.
Cause I really want to, since you get out to the entire country, you know, you get to go to all these places, you get to meet people that obviously Dave and I being, you know, from the Twin Cities of Minnesota, don't get out as much as you guys do. What do you feel is like the state of the paranormal field? Do you believe that people who want to form teams and whatnot and become investigators, do you believe that they're doing it to help people, or do you believe they're using that as an excuse in order to be thrill seekers?
all of it. I think we're all, look, it comes to down to intention. It comes down to your own respect at the end of the day. That's my bottom line. When I go into a place, I'm not going to say that I haven't gone in and pushed at times. I am not going to say that for my own personal reasons that I haven't pushed a little bit harder for answers. But at the end of the day, it always comes down to respect. It also comes down to the location. And I think it's important to help people. I think it's important to help people that are having problems in this life. I think it's important to maybe have an answer for somebody in the afterlife or on the other side or whatever that is, whatever we're meeting in between, whatever that is. If we can help each other, if we can also, I do it because I want people to understand that there's this whole other thing happening right in front of them. And if they're going to turn themselves off to it so much, I just think that's a, don't do that. There's so much cool things around us, and it's just stop and pay attention. I think people need to be careful. I think people need to respect it. I think if people want to go out and pursue it, they absolutely should. But be careful because it gets real. It gets very real. And like I said before, the romanticism of paranormal investigating goes out the window. And these places can affect you physically. They can affect your private life. They can affect your family. They can affect your everyday living. And I've been burned several times. And I've been burned recently to where I had to really reach down and look down on my own intentions. And so, speaking for myself, I think if people can go at it with a respect and also a respect for how real it can be, you know, that's my hope. But I know that not everybody's like that either. I know that we have some people out there that are, you know, wowing away with their, you know, their wild, wild west sort of, investigating ways. And we need to be careful. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I mean, when I interview new investigators for my team, you know, they come in, and they're like, oh, this is really exciting. I'm really looking forward to this. And then I get into the risks of everything. I'm like, this is what can happen. And, you know, it's rare, but it can happen. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, I have a daughter at home. I don't want to take the chance of bringing, like, I've had people that have been so excited coming into the meeting. And then by the time I'm done with the risks of what can happen, they're like, well, maybe I should rethink this.
Right. It's not like it is on TV, which everybody sort of sees. And that's awesome. And that's how I fell in love with it, too. But you get out there, it's a whole different deal. And I've seen it affect my family. I've seen it affect myself, my living situation. I've had people, things follow me home. You have to deal with that aspect after. And people don't see that. You know, Ghost Stalkers was wonderful, but people didn't see the paranormal PTSD that I went through when I went home. Like, I couldn't sleep. I was having nightmares. I couldn't get to bed. I had people around me. It was terrifying. It was a hard time. So, but I learned from it, too. You know, but that's, you know, because I'm also crazy. And I'm also jumping into this 110%. And I would not recommend that for everybody. I think go at your own speed and you know, for most people, go out with professionals, go out with people who know what they're doing and have done this a while and have the right attitude about it. And if you have the right attitude about it, you'll be all right. But, you know, you can get burned. You can.
So, you know, that's curious that you, and I appreciate, and I'm sure Mike does too, that you just told us that you've had stuff follow you home, because I don't think that probably, I don't know, this might seem kind of high, but I don't think that probably 80 to 90% of people who are, even with a couple of years experience, maybe, let's say, understand that that's a real possibility. you know, yeah. until it happens to you.
Yeah. So,
I'm just curious, you know, if you're comfortable talking about it. I mean, can you share like what, like kind of, and just a synopsis, and you don't have to get into any gory details, but kind of just like what happened and how you were able to resolve it and stuff like that.
I had actually from a place I'm about to go for the next location. Years ago, I had 2-3 spirits follow me home from that place. We had gone to, you know, do an event there and scout the location. I'd been there a few times. And as soon as I got back in the car with my buddy, my whole vibe changed and I became just a mean son of a bitch. We got back to my place and that's when I noticed a drastic turn in my dog. She began hiding in places she never hid before. She began basically making eye contact with these spirits, sort of like left and right, making, I'd wake up in the morning and she'd literally be on my chest growling at something over my shoulder. While I slept, it was a terrifying time. They would just harass me and then I would get so mad and so angry and so pissed because they were making my dog feel this way, which made me feel irritated, which became this like cycle in my house. And it took about 6 months of me sort of realizing that was a cycle, me learning how to break that cycle and not play into it and not become a participant. And once I did that, it all went away and they dissipated. And I learned a lot from that. That was terrifying in its own way because it was in my own home and I had no out at times, no matter what I did, no matter how much I smudged, no matter how much I did this or that. They were harassing me and my dog, and she's a little 7-pound dog. And you know, now I'll get the occasional tagger on and, you know, they'll come, you know, let me know that they're around by tossing something usually. And then I'll have words and just say, you got to go. You know, it's been cool. And then hopefully it kind of goes away over the time and then a new one moves in momentarily.
I like the having words comment. That's beautiful.
You have to. Words
and, you know, basically, you know, get the hell out. And
you gotta have words.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right. I've done it myself many times. So
it's interesting that you say that. Like when you got in the car, like your entire mood changed, and you know, when you got home for like 6 months, it's just your emotions were all in chaos. My friends are very, very. They find it really funny to say that they'll know that I'm possessed. Because I'll be nicer. So,
that's fine.
Yeah. Well, they use possessed. Not a lot of non-paranormal people know the stages of possession.
Right, right.
True. I'll give you that. That's right.
So I just want to throw that in there. I think you got the good part on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to take our commercial break. Then we're going to come back, and obviously we're going to get into the Badass Celebrity Ghost Hunt, and then I definitely want to talk about the event that you have coming up with Grant here at the end of the month.
Yes.
I definitely want to take some time to talk about that because it is a phenomenal investigation in location that you're going, but the cause is wonderful. So we'll be back here in a few minutes. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para X. 2 hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para X Radio.
here, left. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi? Heidi? Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files, because if you don't, you're going to get abducted. And it didn't work.
And we're back. And Dave's not talking. Go, Dave.
Yeah. Look at that. 2 weeks in a row, baby.
Yes, very much. So I'm sorry I started laughing there. Dave, I played the Chris Fleming promo about being abducted if you don't listen to us.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Sorry, I find it hilarious. So getting back to our guest today. I've already asked this question with like Ghost Stalkers and whatnot, but how did the badass celebrity ghost hunt, how did that idea and that opportunity to do it come about?
I was shooting Ghost Stalkers at the time, and my buddy Dave and I were sitting around in his kitchen, and he was like, you know where this is heading next? And he's like, celebrities. And I said, yep. So for, you know, the last few years, kind of been honing in on the idea to what I wanted it to be. And then you know, speaking to Nick one night, he was saying that he was going to start Video Space and the Haunted Space. And we got to talking, and one thing led to another. And here I am with Chad Lindbergh's badass celebrity ghost hunt on the Haunted Space. And it's fun because it's a 90-minute live show. There's no cuts, no edits. It's exactly whatever happens in the moment. And which is what it's really like. You know, there's not the music and the bumps and the cuts and the beeps, which, you know, if you watch me, there's a lot of beeps. This Saturday is the upcoming episode that I'm going to have Samantha Ferris from Supernatural, who was actually in the Roadhouse with me. She's going to be my guest.
Do you ever have guests, you know, like Samantha, who take a lot of talking into to do it, or are they like, is everybody super psyched?
Everyone's super psyched. Everyone wants to come have this experience. I mean, that's the one thing, no matter who, where you live, who you are, I've always, you know, whenever I bring it up at parties or people, they run into me and they realize what I do. Everyone's facade changes, and everyone's got an experience, and everyone wants to talk to you, and everyone wants to open up and be like, hey, I want to know. Like, I need to know. And everyone's curious about it, no matter who you are. And that's what I want to bring on the show, and that's what I want people to see, is those fresh fear faces or moments that really connect with the guests and really sort of connect with people, and they get that personal validation. That's priceless. That's the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So do you intentionally or maybe unintentionally, like, put them in situations where you know that they're just going to freak out?
Well, you know, the idea too is wherever we take our guests, the place is extremely haunted. So I don't need to really do anything other than take them there. And then, you know, their own anxieties, their own ideas, do all the work. And really, you know, I'm there to sort of facilitate that experience for them and sort of open it up, the channel between them and the location and the spirit or whatever lives there, and see what happens. And, you know, that's the thing I love about the paranormal is, like, you cannot predict it. You don't know what's going to happen. What you think is going to be a quiet location becomes crazy, you know, loud. And then sometimes when you think this huge location, it's infamous, it's going to be crazy, and then it becomes kind of just quiet and tame that night. So you just never know.
Yeah. So basically you say, hey, I really appreciate you coming with. Here's a flashlight. Here's a recorder. I want you to go sit over here in the corner for about 45 minutes by yourself and let me know how you feel when you get out.
Yeah. You know, I'll be there side by side with all my guests, and I have been. And then there are times when I do send them off by themselves, and the cameraman will sort of follow them, and we'll leave them alone in certain rooms. I want people to come out and have a good time and have an experience, be able to walk away with, like, okay, that happened. And, you know, as you guys know, when you have an experience, you know, if you have like a disembodied voice talk to you, you never forget those moments. And it really does. It knocks the wind out of you in a way that you really can't describe.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, we've had, we've had hundreds of, EVP moments and some personal moments and, personal experiences and touching and, regretfully a couple of scratching incidences and stuff like that. But, those are the ones you don't go for those moments. You know, it's more just the interaction and the conversation moments and, can we help you moment? You know, right. is there a reason why you're still attached to the spot,
Right.
Yeah.
So unfortunately I haven't been able to see, any of these shows. How many have you done so far?
This will be our fifth episode, I want to say.
And they're all on
the haunted.space. That's where people can go. The haunted.space was started by Nick Groff and Elizabeth Saint. And it's basically a paranormal channel where people can go and subscribe to paranormal content that's uncut and raw, basically. So that's what the show's been. And every weekend, this last weekend I was off because I needed a break. I needed rest. But every weekend, every Saturday, I fly to a new location, take a guest out. So this one's on my home turf, which is the Glen Tavern Inn in California here. So Samantha Ferris is coming down, and she's a cusser like I am. So people can expect just a whole lot of cussing. This place was a speakeasy back in the day. So I think her and I are going to fit right in.
So is there any place that you haven't been yet for the ghost hunt that you are really looking forward to getting to in the future for one of your shows?
We're working on the last few locations. This one has a personal touch to me. I've been there a lot of times. I've been there with a lot of different investigators, a lot of friends. I've just got sort of that personal touch there. So I'm excited about it. If people have never been, it's called the Glen Tavern Inn, and it's a really haunted hotel. Santa Paulo, I want to say, is the town. Really haunted. They don't even rent out the third floor because it's that haunted. So, yeah.
Put that on the list, Dave.
Road trip.
They don't, even rent out the third floor because it's too haunted. So the whole hotel is haunted. You walk in, you're like, oh. Yeah, weird goes there. Strange goes there.
Want to go to there.
I know how it is.
So, I mean, is that like your, I don't want to say peak, but is that like your prime location, or do you have
that I've been
another, well, that, or even one that you're looking forward to getting into?
Well, there's a lot of places that I'm sure that I'm destined to go to. Nothing at the top of my head, you know, is beckoning me. It's hard because there are a few places that stand out in my brain as being places that are just, for me, insanely haunted and have really crazy experiences. So I kind of leverage it that way. So this, I don't know, some places to me that might be just kind of like, you know, might be extremely haunted to, say, Sam. Or so I don't know. I've been to this place, so I have a personal connection. Maybe it's more relaxed. Maybe that's a bad thing. You know what I mean? It's like it happened last time. I got a couple of hitchhikers last time because I was a little too relaxed. So
yeah, so you let your guard
you
down.
Just never know. You yeah. never know. This might, yeah. like, you know, I, you know, this may be the time that you actually come in contact with the spirit and see, you know, eye to eye. Who knows? You know, you just never know.
Speaking of that, have you had that moment yet, Chad? Have you actually, I mean, in the places that you've been, have you actually had the turn the corner and full body apparition kind of standing there staring into you moment?
Not yet. Not yet. I know it'll happen one day. I know. I want that to happen. I want to see. I want to lock eyes with someone.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I've tried. You know, I've pushed for that. But it'll happen.
It'll happen. Yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen when you least expect it, though, too. It'll be the moment when you're, you know, totally at ease and totally relaxed and probably in a location you don't think it's going to come about. And you'll turn the corner and all of a sudden it'll be there and you'll be like, oh, my, you know, this is my OMG moment, you know.
And exactly. Yeah. And then I'll remember this interview and then I'll be like, aha.
Ah, Dave foresaw it. I can't believe
it. Dave foresaw everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're very
crazy psychics from Minnesota.
Yes. Yeah.
So, being an investigator myself, obviously, along with Dave, since I started 7 years ago, I have not had that yet either, and I've tried to like make myself be prepared for it. Like I've tried to imagine how I would react. How do you think you would react if? Let's say that the Glen Inn, if right. that were to happen, how do you think you would react if that?
You know, I think it happens. You know, I think our bodies freeze. You know, it's the same way that I've been hit with like certain EV or disembodied voices that were literally right in front of me. Your body kind of like jolts back into a. It knocks the wind out of you. It sort of like knocks the spiritual wind out of you. That's the best way I could describe it. And who knows? You know, it just depends on how close the spirit was, where it was looking, how it was looking. I mean, you know, if we only saw what was really going on, our bodies wouldn't be able to handle it. They'd be in shock all the time.
Yeah, which I'm glad that doesn't happen because we'd be walking around like a bunch of zombies.
Yeah, you know, yes. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, did you piss yourself or are you going to do this and, you know, I'm going to run. And I'm like, you'd be surprised. Like a lot of people don't run. I think you're paralyzed. I I've never lost control of my bodily functions. You know, I've lost control of my body because my fear just completely overthrows everything and it kicks you can't even control it. That's the thing. When no. something that magnificent happens to you, you can't control what your body does. It just takes over. I don't care how tall you are, how big you are, how if you're a child, if you're a grown-up, but what whoever you are, it completely disables you.
Yep, I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
So do you think that you, as you go forward in your career and you do, you know, investigation after investigation, do you think you'll ever get used to it?
No, and I don't think we should. I think if someone says that, then that's a dangerous place, because it's not normal. There is a risk to it, and I think people, you know, I'm a rare case that I do this all the time, and it does come with its challenges and its setbacks. So. Yeah, man, it's yeah, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of weight to it. There's a lot of, I forgot where I was going with that. You kind of, I got lost. I'm like,
that's okay. It happens to us.
It gets
Don't worry
deep,
about it.
You know, it gets deep.
It does get deep. Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of deep.
Yeah.
You are doing March 23rd. you are doing an event with Grant Wilson.
Yeah.
Tell us about
it. On our list, actually, when we were going to road trip, that was one of the places we wanted to be.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's deep because it is deep. It's deep in the heart, this event, in the soul. This is for the Lost Limbs Foundation, which is also something very personal to me. Mike Couch is a good friend of mine, and he started the Lost Limbs Foundation, which helps raise money for kids, you know, that need assistance with prosthetics. And he does this all on his own. And I've worked with Mike a lot. And so now I get to do an event with Grant Wilson, who in, you know, this world is you know, a godfather, if you will. And truly, I'm honored to be able to work with him. I haven't yet. So to be able to do it at the Rose Hotel, which I know is really haunted and cool, and with Mike, and it's just going to be an awesome event and with a lot of heart. Yeah.
If people want to, because I'm assuming that as a nonprofit, people can donate to it.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that was it, because you're already answering my question.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think if people go to lostlimbsfoundation.org, I think people can donate if they can't make it to the event. But it's a terrific foundation, and I adore Mike and everybody in this in the field. You know, Mike's traveled to a lot of these locations and done a lot of events and knows everybody in this field. So he travels all over. So if people have a chance to go out and do a Lost Limbs event, he has just about all of the big paranormal celebrities to these events. So this one is Grant and I at the Rhodes Hotel.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said you haven't investigated with Grant yet. I think that you're going to really enjoy that.
I am. I'm excited to learn from him. You know, I think, you know, it's exciting. I love being around these people because nothing's off limits, and we talk about ghosts and aliens and Bigfoots like it's just normal matter of fact business, and it's just awesome, and it's so freeing. And I, you know, he's been doing this a lot of years, and I've been doing this only a small sliver in retrospect to how he's been doing it and how long he's been doing it. So, you know, it's been cool that I've been able to work with these people that I don't want to say grew up watching, but I watched, you know, I watched all of their shows, you know, I learned from all of their shows. And I just did an event recently with a Chip Coffee at Ashmore Estates. And so it was just, you know, I have those sort of pinch me moments where I'm like, man, this is awesome. Like I'm here with these guys and learning from them and doing an event and doing something, giving back and doing it, you know, that's something that we can do for the spirits, is to go and give back to these locations and give back, and that's helping people like the Lost Limbs Foundation. And so, you know, it's all good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So are you, I'm a big gadget guy. Mm-hmm. I like the equipment. I got everything that I could possibly buy. I've been accused of having an addiction to buying paranormal equipment.
I understand. Sure.
So are you a scientific equipment guy, or are you like Grant, who just would rather go on with like a digital recorder and a flashlight and that's it?
I'm a me instrument. I think the best instrument is our bodies. And I learned a lot, again, on Ghost Doctors. I wanted to go in with all this equipment. And Nick was like, you don't need it. And I'm like, you know what, you're right. I just completely just dropped everything. And I just went in. And that turned out to be the best thing. And I learned I think our bodies tell us the truth and our mind's going to lie to us. And I think people need to pay attention to their bodies. And I do love a recorder. I'm using a new piece of equipment, a new kind of spirit box now. But, you know, I've learned to just go in and au naturel and see what happens.
Yeah, that would not be Mike right there, because when Mike shows up for an investigation, it's like Motley Crue coming in, man. It's like road case after road case after road case equipment.
It's amazing.
And, you know, it takes 28 people staff to unload the vehicle, you know, and, you know, everything's got its special spot. And, you know, this case has got all of this particular stuff. And this, you know, by the time everything gets set up, it's an hour long. And
but it's called being organized, Dave.
It's cool.
But I love it. I love that stuff too. I mean, I love all of it. You know, I love to be shown new things. And, you know, I think there's, I think, if it works, I don't care what it is. I think it's awesome. You know, I'll never get this there.
You mentioned that you're using a new type of spirit box. What are you using?
It's called a Phasma box. And basically, it's
looking
just
that up right now.
It scans internet, scans internet radio. And I like it. Doesn't have the static. And also, for me, the spirits come through a very much more visceral way. You can definitely feel their emotion a lot more. Kind of becomes a dance for me. That's why I like it.
Okay, two cool follow-up questions to that. Where can I get one, and how much will it cost me?
I think it's online. I think you can get it online. It's just a software. And I think it's $15.
Oh, it's like computer software?
Yeah, yeah. Just a tablet. Just download it on your tablet.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome.
Well, now I don't know if I'm all that interested, because I like being like, this is very expensive.
I know. Again, the basics, you know, if it's way too expensive, then, you know, I don't know.
Wait. How much is it?
$15, I believe.
Oh, no. Mike can't get that. No. Because it has to have the price. And it needs to be $1,500.
It's all I use.
The Phasma Box Premium. Yeah,
there you are.
Ooh, got to go premium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it has the lights that come with it. Yeah.
I'll check all the websites. I got to have If you should have seen how fast I went to my phone to search for the geo port when, you know, Nick first pulled that out during Ghost of Shepherdstown. Yeah. I mean, I'm all over that stuff because I love it.
I understand.
Okay, so we only have 3 minutes left, sadly. Chad, why don't you, besides your, obviously the March 23rd event, which I believe sold out, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe all the VIPs are at least sold out. I want to say we're close, but there might be still some tickets. People should look anyway. Definitely take a look. My Twitter, Grant's Twitter, Lost Limbs Foundation Twitter, all that stuff.
How would people contact? Like, what is your Twitter and whatnot for people who don't already know?
Everything's at Chad Lindberg. That's my Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, at Chad Lindberg. Simple.
You Snapchat?
I do. I do snap the chat.
Yeah, so do I.
No, you don't. You do not Snapchat.
Me? You don't snap the chat?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me. Oh, yeah. Cripety.
Yeah, I do. I've got three daughters, so yeah, I Snapchat. Yes, I do. I Snapchat, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're too old to Snapchat, Dave. Sorry to say.
I know. I told them that. They told me that I wasn't. So trust me, when your daughters tell you that you're not too old to do something, you're not too old to do something. So
that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So
there are a couple tickets left for Friday night VIP, so people get on there and out and see the road. Nice. Go to the roads. Yeah,
there it
I don't
is.
Think the
Definitely.
VIP is. I think it's. Is it a two night or just one?
It's a two night. Two night.
It's
show.
Two night. Saturday sold out. Friday VIPs. There's 12 remaining. So if you want to go out there and support a great cause, get out there and go buy your tickets now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Chad, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you both so much.
And we're definitely, as these episodes go on, we definitely want to have you back, see how you're doing.
Thank you.
If you're still enjoying yourself.
I'll tell you what, after I lock eyes with the spirit, you guys will be the first to all come on and talk about it.
Don't be making promises you can't keep, Chad.
Hey, man, hey, I'm telling you right now, and I know Lindsay's listening. She can be the witness here. So, you know, it might be next month. It could be 5 years from now. Who knows?
Oh, we're definitely going to have you on before that. So.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you both so much. And people can't see at home, but we're all looking at each other through Skype. And it's nice. It makes it relaxed. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So Dave and myself, I want to wish everybody a very happy evening. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.